You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
It is good to be back here on Exploring the Word. Bert Harper here, along with Jeff Shambly. Alex and I are just taking time, days apart, to be off. Jeff,
you are.
I appreciate you being here, man.
I tell you what, you've got big shoes to fill.
you're taking Alex's place.
I know, but yesterday and the day before, I was taking your place.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, we enjoy. By the way, let me share with everybody where I was. I was in Tremont, Mississippi. That's real close to the Alabama state line. And I was in a revival and just had a great time. Randy Spencer is the pastor there, just a great guy, and enjoyed the fellowship there. We had some great services. Last night, that church ministers to the young people in that area, and they came, and there was just a huge crowd there. And we saw God do some good work, and we praise God for churches that are still on target with the Word of God, on target with the Great Commission, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Does your heart good to know that, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely, and I love the fact that you're getting out there in some churches and you're still preaching and leading people and pointing them to the Lord, and always exciting to hear about that.
Well, it is. And another thing, See You at the Pole was yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a nationwide movement, and so it was just a great day in a lot of schools. A lot of people showed up. We got one guy showing up somewhere. We're hopefully that someone will cover that, but we got it on Facebook, and Brent was telling me about it. And so, See You at the Pole. And then last night, I know my grandson over in Alabama, they had a celebration of Saw You at the Pole, where all those kids came in and they were sharing together about what God is doing. And so I just want to tell you, sometimes we get discouraged, and I understand that, but I'm also encouraged. God is still at work. And matter of fact, that's a segue into chapter 11.
Yes.
God always has a remnant, doesn't he, Jeff?
He does. Faithful people, young and old.
He does. So we're in chapter 11 of the book of Romans, and we're going to start there. It's a chapter. Let me just share with you. I think what we say in chapter 11, verse 1, sets up the whole chapter. Do you think so?
I agree.
Well, let me read that. This is what Paul says. I say then, and he asks a question, has God cast away his people? He responds, and I'm in the New King James. I think King James may have it a little different about how he says it, but he says, certainly not. And then he gives himself as an example.
Yeah.
For I also am an Israelite. I'm one of his people as a Jew, but now I'm one as, you know, the apostle, part of the church, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew.
Yeah.
Israel. And the nation, it's still here. In 1948, they reorganized. They're under attack now. But you cannot be amazed that the Jewish people stayed and kept identity over all the years of them being taken out of their land, going to the four
Yeah. We say four corners, but that means four directions of the world and still keep their identity. There's no one else quite like that.
I think it's one of the greatest examples of fulfilled prophecy that we see. And to think that we have seen that in our life. I mean, I wasn't alive in 1948, but in the last two generations, to see that happen and fulfillment of what God had prophesied through all of the prophets in the Old Testament, which brings us to the question, has the church replaced Israel? And we touched about briefly yesterday, and I think that Paul answers that question when he says, has God cast away his people? And right away goes to himself. There's no redefinition of the nation Israel.
There is.
He's assuming that the nation of Jews that are there, and gives himself as example number one, and he says, of the seed of Abraham. So again, he's not redefining who Israel is. He's saying God hasn't cast them away, and I'm exhibit A.
Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, you and I did a little show prep earlier, and we was talking about, you know, how far to go and what to go into.
Yep.
And we talked about the Old Testament and the prophets. And a lot of times, like Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't said so Jesus could say it. No, it was said because that was David's heart. But it also was a prophetic voice of what Jesus Christ would cry out on the cross. So God can have two tracks at the same time. That's what his track is, the church, a combination of Jew and Gentile, but also he's kept the Jewish nation people as here. They're still here, and he has plans for them.
Yes, and that doesn't mean that God has two ways of salvation.
No, that has nothing to do with that.
Because that's one of the charges, is that, well, you're talking about two different ways of salvation. No, we're talking about Christ alone, but we're also talking about Jesus, who is the King of the Jews, who is the Son of David. And so how are Jews saved? The same way that Gentiles are saved.
The way they were saved back then.
By faith.
Jews were saved, but how about Rahab and how about Ruth? Mm-hmm. Guess what? Their faith. They were Gentiles. And honestly, that we're going to talk about grafted in.
Yeah.
They were grafted in before they grafted in. You catch what I'm saying,
absolutely.
Jeff? I don't think I'm stretching it too much, but I'm using a little bit of levity to let you see, hey, God's plan for Abraham was that you will bless all the nations.
Yes.
They were to be instruments of God to share God's plan. The church is an instrument of God to touch people's life and share God's plan. Yes, it is. And it wasn't replacement for the people, but it was a continuation. See if you agree with this. It was a continuation of God's plan to include all people, but he changed the instrument by whereby the cogs were turned, and it's the church and not the Jewish nation. But their purpose was to bring people to God himself.
I've heard that God expanded. You know, he had the covenant with Israel, but he expanded that to include the Gentiles. But it was all along in the scripture. And as you mentioned, Genesis chapter 12, the covenant with Abraham that he would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And it was embedded in there. So it was wonderful, the plan of God.
Listen, you see this, and I just am amazed.
Yeah.
Now, verse 2 again, we're trying to put it in details. Verse 2, I would say through verse 10 is talking about the prophets and so forth, Elijah. Listen to what it says. I love this example. He said, or do you know that the scripture says Elijah, who, this is verse 2, who pleads with God and saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I alone, now that's the secret of understanding what Paul is using. Elijah said, I alone am left, and they seek my life. And then how does God correct him? He said, buddy, no. Now, you have to use my vernacular a little bit, Jeff.
What translation have you got?
Yeah, I know. He says, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. Listen, I have my remnant. I have my people. I always have. I always will.
Yeah.
And I will in the future. I'll have those. And he says, I've reserved. Now, I love verse 4. See what you thought. I have reserved for myself 7,000 men. I've got them reserved. I've got them. Yeah, you may not have known them, but I know where they are. You catch what it?
Yeah.
I think. Do you see God I know everybody and where they are, no matter where they might be.
And the words "I have reserved" indicate God is not waiting on you to provide those, that remnant for me. No, I've reserved them for myself. And we don't know who they were.
That's right,
Brother Bert. I mean, we know Elijah, when he came off of Mount Carmel with this battle, and then he ran from Jezebel and he uttered those words. He felt forsaken. We don't know who those people were, but God had them. And this is what Paul is making a point of, that God has a remnant at all times.
He does. Now, verse 5 talks about this. At this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. It never has been below. Have you noticed he comes back to grace all the way through the book of Romans?
Yes.
I mean, you're never going to say, hey, and works and grace are not mixed. You're saved by grace, you're kept by grace. And that's the whole idea. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. And you can look at that, and if it's works, it can't be grace. You cannot use them together. Mm-hmm. It's God's grace. Now, we are his workmanship, created unto good works, after grace has set us apart, yep, according to Ephesians. You know,
yep,
yeah, we're created for workmanship. We're left here not to work so we'll be saved, but we work because we have been saved.
Exactly. He uses the word the present time. At this present time, there's a remnant. When he's writing this, of course, during the time of the New Testament, the first century, let's just kind of review what we know so far. In Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000 Jewish souls that were saved at this present time. And then Acts chapter 4, 5,000 believed. So we know at least 8,000 people were at this time. So not only do we have the example of Paul being one of those of the remnant, we have 8,000 other nameless people, yep, that we'll find out more as we read in Acts and New Testament.
And if you go all the way through the book of Acts, it always go to the synagogue first, yep, and then there would be those that were believing. Now, in the first 10 chapters in Acts, you have the word multitudes, you have multiplied.
Okay.
After Paul starts working with the Gentile world, they added to the church. There was a few that came out. Some came out. In other words, the Gentile world at that point in time, Paul had to start from scratch. You remember when he's in Athens?
Mm-hmm.
He said, let me tell you about the unknown God. They didn't know about Messiah. The Jews did, but not the Greeks, not the Gentile thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so he said, let me tell you about this unknown God. So here he is. The Jews were still the base of his ministry as he would go to the synagogue. So he was adding to this number all the time, this present number.
Yeah. I love that.
I do too. And it says, as it is written, verse 8, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear for this very day. Now let's talk about this. We got about a minute and 15 seconds. They started the process by rejecting God.
Yes.
And then when God gives them more, sort of like Pharaoh wouldn't believe God, so God gave him some more to believe, but he turned him down.
Mm-hmm.
His heart was hardened, and there's a mixture there with Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart, God hardened his heart, mm-hmm, Pharaoh hardened his heart, God. It is, but it's that man that initiates this hardness, blindness,
yes,
that they do not see. And God uses that, and he used that to bring the Gentile world to be his instrument of preaching the grace of God, Jeff.
Yeah, and that shows the severity of rejecting the grace of God and resisting the grace of God and delaying repentance when the Holy Spirit is convicting you and opening the Word of God before you and putting that off, that there's always that danger that your heart will become hardened and then you will not care about the things of God.
Listen.
That's hard. That's
when
terrible.
When you see that, today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Those of you who are listening today, and you may be in church, you may not be in church. We have a lot of people that just turn on the radio and they listen, and they're not a part of God's plan for us, the church. Don't put it off. Let Jesus Christ reign in your life. He'll convict you. He'll draw you, and the Holy Spirit of God will drive the Word of God home.
Yes.
And he'll, listen, just say yes, respond. Respond to the light you have, mm-hmm, and God gives you more light. You say, well, I don't understand everything. Jeff, I didn't understand everything at 12 years old when I was saved, but I knew Jesus loved me. I knew he died on the cross for me. I knew he rose again, and I knew without him I was doomed.
Yeah.
And because of that, I put my faith in him. He saved me. As Amen. A 12-year-old boy, he changed my life.
Amen.
Hey, he can change your life. I pray that you've trusted Christ. If you haven't, I pray you would today. Let him come in and surrender your life to him as Lord. We'll be right back with more.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
And I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eyes on the spell. And I know he watches me.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Aren't you grateful that God sees you where you are like those sparrows? He takes care of us as his children. I'm certainly grateful. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. I'm Jeff Shambley in with Bert Harper, and we are in Romans chapter 11, a wonderful passage of Scripture.
It really is, and I know I appreciate you sitting in, and I know you guys went through part of 9 or all of 9, and in 10, Jim Stanley also was on Monday. So appreciate you guys so much. It's great to have pinch hitters, not substitutes, pinch hitters when they come in and do that. By the way, before we go any further, we know that the Hurricane Helene is bearing down on Florida right now, that bend. And I was listening to the cast, the newscast right before our program started, and it's going to affect Georgia. It's even going to go up and affect South Carolina and North Carolina. It's a huge storm, Jeff.
Wow.
A 20-foot storm surge. We treat this kind of like a Sunday school class, small group class. We discuss it, but we also pray about things that come up. So I think we need to pray about that. Would you mind leading us in prayer and praying for their wisdom, what to do, and for the recovery and the protection, whatever God lays on your heart, Jeff?
Sure. Let's pray together. Just join our hearts together. Father, what a joy to be able to come to our great God and Father, the Sovereign of the universe, Lord, the Creator of all things, the one who has unlimited power and wisdom. Father, we love you and we worship you today, and we join our hearts together asking you that you would provide relief for the people who will be affected by this storm. Even now, Lord, provide and in advance of the storm as it's coming ashore in Florida and will affect Georgia and so many millions of people. Lord, I pray for those that are leaving now that you give them safe passage. I pray that you would provide the resources that rescuers and emergency workers will need in the aftermath of this. I pray that you would provide and strengthen the churches in this area to be able to respond and to lend helping hands, and Lord, to pray and to comfort people. Lord, I pray for the preservation of life, and I pray that you would sustain, Lord, and that you would have mercy. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to join together, and we ask, Lord, that you would do this and receive glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. And we are praying, and we want you to know. So we, as a as a class. Yeah. Like yeah. The exploring the word class, we would pray for, especially our brothers and sisters and all the people there.
Yeah.
And what a time for things like ministries like Samaritan's Purse, 8 Days of Hope. Yeah. Guess what? They'll show up quickly. Praise God for ministries that we have that do make a difference.
Amen.
So
yeah.
We want to do that. One more thing. You do the stand. I hear you got a special guest on the stand.
Oh, man, I tell you, this weekend is the guest of all guests. Brother Bert Harper is going to be my guest.
Okay.
You are going to be on the program this weekend, and we're talking about Pastor Appreciation Month coming up in October. You gave us some great insight on that, and folks, don't forget that's coming up. Tune in this weekend, Saturday at 4, Sunday at 8 p.m. If you can't listen to those times, you can get the podcast at afr.net on Saturday morning. But we're going to visit about that and have a great conversation. So.
Yes, we love Pastor Appreciation. I appreciate Focus on the Family. It started this years ago. It was there, but they're the ones that brought it out. H.B. London, who was a pastor and Dr. Dobson's cousin, like a brother to him.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's the one that kind of promoted it. Matter of fact, he was up in Memphis, Tennessee, and Jan, my wife, got to go and be a part of that group. And that's where the Fishbowl Retreat that Jan and I do, it was birthed out of all of those needs and appreciation. We always did it in October because that was Pastor Appreciation. And matter of fact, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of October, we'll be at Pickwick Landing State Park, and we'll be a part of the Fishbowl Retreat. We've got 40 couples. We try to keep it kind of that small because Jan and I like to, you know, talk with them, share with them, and people get to know one another. Pastor Appreciation, do something for your pastor, his wife, and his family.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't leave his wife and family out, you know, because I want to just tell you, in my opinion, they have the hardest job, you know, and I'm not going to tell you all the secrets
that I know.
You'll have
to listen to the program.
They need to listen to the program. And by the way, Brent was telling me while I was gone, you know, Mr. Facebook, here, yeah, like I do, that we were adding the numbers and we're headed toward 9,700, and which will put us close to 10,000. Brent has got that 10,000 number. I think we may have a celebration when we hit it. And I think he may have some things in mind. So keep liking us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Do that. Hey, let's get back to the Word of God. You had something to say about verses 9 and 10 about David and this table. What about the table?
So right here, Paul is quoting David in the Psalms to illustrate the fact that God has not cast away his people, but there's a temporary hardening or temporary blindness. And so he says in verse 9, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. Wow, what a word. And the word table that he says there, and I looked at one commentator, when he says, let their table become a snare, there's the idea that a man's table was his safety zone, the things that he was comfortable with and secure with. So one of the illustrations can be there that those things that we look to for our satisfaction and our relief other than Christ,
amen,
will become a snare to us.
No matter what they are.
No matter what they are.
Listen, do not let anything get between you and God, no matter what. The blessings of God. That's the reason 2 Chronicles 7:14 is so important. Seek my face, not seek the blessing of my hand, but seek the pleasure of seeing my face. And so we do that. Verse 11 introduces, I think, the more the Gentiles. Listen to this, Jeff. I say then, what they stumbled, that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, the Jews fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, listen, Gentiles could always be saved. That's the case, always. Mm-hmm. We talked about Rahab. We talked about Ruth. The others that came to know the God of the Old Testament that were Gentiles. Here, the salvation that is presented to the world has switched from the Jewish people. Now, we're not talking about replacement of the Jewish nation, but the job. The Jews had a job. It was to carry the message of God to the world, yes, that you might be a blessing to all the world. Guess what? The job of the Gentile, the church today, which is Gentile and Jewish, God's given us the Great Commission to go into all the world and share the good news.
Yeah.
And that's the salvation. Yes, it's come to them, but now what are we? I would ask this, Jeff, what are we doing with it? What's the church doing with the message of Jesus Christ? We're living in a time when people are being kind of distracted away from the main thing. Our main responsibility is sharing the good news of Christ. And I know it's a slogan, but I think it's the greatest one, to know him and to make him known. That has not changed.
Yeah.
We are to know him. So we're asking folks to make sure you know Jesus Christ is Savior. Just because you're a member of a church doesn't make you part of it. I use this old preaching illustration. Just because you live in an apartment over a garage doesn't make you a car. Okay?
Yeah.
Just because you're a member of a church doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you this Christian is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm. Salvation has come.
Yeah, that's good.
You know?
He says the words to provoke them to jealousy. So when he's saying here that the Jews have been temporarily set aside so that the gospel will come to the Gentiles for the effect of provoking them to jealousy. So what is it that would provoke them to jealousy? It's like seeing the neighbor's, your father going to the neighbor's child and playing ball with them. It provokes you to jealousy when you see what should be yours being given to someone else. And I would ask the question, are you living in such a way that you're adoring and loving Jesus in a, such a way that it would cause an unbeliever to be jealous?
That's the whole thing. That's it.
Yeah.
You hit it perfectly. And doing the father relationship is very powerful because that is who it is, our father.
Yeah.
And listen, do you have that relationship with him that would cause others to say, man, I need this in my life?
Yeah.
Being a pastor for so many years, I've seen this happen, dozens of times. Probably, I started to say 100, but I'm going to keep it to dozens. And been in the hospital, emergency room, intensive care, different places as a pastor. And they're always proud to say, oh, and I always was Brother Burt. Never have been Brother Harper to do very many.
Yeah.
I don't know all the reasons why. Oh, Brother Burt, we're glad you're here, and I'd be praying with them. But sometimes while I was praying, somebody would come into the door, come into the room, and all of a sudden they'd look up, and the person that I was praying for who was in this difficult situation would look up and see them. All of a sudden they forgot Burt Harper, and they went straight to them. You know who it was most of the time, Jeff? Someone who had already gone through what they were going through at that time.
Wow.
You know, they had already seen God, the Father, bring them through, and they gravitated to those people and we comfort one another with the same comfort that we've been comforted. So they were there, and that's who we are. We've been bought with a price. We've come out so we could go in. We have surrendered to him. That should provoke those to jealousy that we have that kind of relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, brother. Yeah. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Listen, we're not rich toward the world's means, okay? It's not what we're getting out of it. It's what God's putting into us. Mm-hmm. That's the real riches, isn't it?
Yeah, we have the benefit of what they have lost,
and
that is the realization that Jesus is the Messiah. But look what it says. If their failure is riches, how much more? And we've heard those words from Paul before. How much more their fullness? So there is a time coming when that remnant does turn to Christ, that the blessing far outweighs what they would have lost.
You couldn't help but think about, we have difficulties up here, but it's not to be compared to the riches that we're going to have in heaven.
Yeah.
So God is amazing, Jeff. He's able to turn those tables,
Yeah.
I love Romans 8, 28 and 29, that God is able to take all things and work them for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, you've got to know what good is, and you don't find that until you come to verse 29, that we would be conformed to his image.
Mm-hmm.
That is the good that
God
wants, not me to have it easy. If you're coming to Christ because you want an easy route, you
It's the wrong way.
Wrong way. He's laid it out, but we have a friend that stays with us. He never leaves us. That's who we have in Christ. Yeah. And he continues on, again, I magnify my ministry. Paul, a Gentile, a Jew, and we go back to chapter 11, verse 1. I think this ties it in a little bit.
Okay.
And he says, now I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. Here it is. I'm a part of what God's plan is for the future.
Mm-hmm.
This remnant that we're talking about that we have now, but also is going to be reproduced and reproduced. There's going to be a greater awakening that's going to happen in the Gentile world. And again, here we find this word jealousy. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. You remember what he had already talked about. My heart's desire for Israel is that they would be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is. His heart is still wanting those, even though he's an apostle of the Gentiles, his heart's still toward the Jewish people, aren't they?
Even after being beaten and accused and lied about, his heart is still for his people, that they would come to know what should have been theirs all along by covenant. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if we continue on, it says in verse 15 and following, for if there's a being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? God's got through. I believe he's saying I'm not through with them. They may look dead, but guess what? They're there. And he brought, let me see, there was a guy named Lazarus who was dead 4 days, and God could raise him up. So this Jewish nation now, this group, they may be small. They might not, a lot of them, be a part of God's church, but they're still there, and God's going to speak to them one day, and they're going to have this experience, I think, similar to Paul's experience on the Damascus Road, because I think when chapter 11, verse 1, and he talks about his coming a Christian, I think they're going to wake up the way Paul was awakened.
I think so, and it's like dry bones right now. You know, the bones,
amen.
The bones,
thank you.
The bones are there, the sinews are there, the flesh is there, but there's no breath. And then God is going to breathe in, and they're going to become alive. And that's from Ezekiel 36, 37, 38. And also referring back to Jeremiah, three chapters, 29, 30, 31, the new covenant. I challenge you readers to go back and read that and understand what he's ultimately talking about, and that is that God has not cast away his people, but gives them a new covenant where they will have a new heart,
amen,
a heart of flesh, and that's what Paul's talking about.
He really does, and he brings it home. Now, in verse 16, it's still talking about God's not through with Israel. That's the whole thrust of the chapter. But in verse 16, notice what it says, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. In other words, where did the Jewish set apart start? It started with Abraham.
Abraham
believed God, and it was accounted to him for right. It had nothing to do with his bloodline at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with his faith.
His faith.
So real people who are Abraham's seed, honestly, you have those that are, yes, the DNA's been passed on, but the real ones that God is looking for is that spiritual seed, those that would believe God.
Oh.
So I love that. And it says, verse 17, real quickly, and if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, that's us. I just had to get to that. We were grafted in.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yep.
We're part of that root. Hey, the phone number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Jeff here with you. Again, Alex is out today, and that's good. He needs to spend some time with Angie ever so often. He is on the road all the time, and if you're interested in having Alex, you can go to alexmcfarland.com, and you can find his schedule. He stays on the road, Jeff. I'm glad he does what he does, and I do what I do. That dude, he is something else. Energy. Yeah. And does a great job. Have you got to ever hear him live? Have you ever heard him?
It's been a long time.
He listen, he's great on the radio. You know that. But you get him in front of a group of people, and it elevates
does
a little
it really?
Bit. Yeah,
energy goes up.
It does. Mine does as well. We've done about a half a dozen things together, and it's kind of wild when we do it together, and so we enjoy that. But we're glad we have people calling. The number is 888-589-8840. So let's go to Arkansas. Mildred, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Hello?
Yes, Mildred, you're on the radio. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, Bert.
Yes.
I listen to you and Alex all the time, and the guy, Jeff, get on with you guys too. I listen to you guys and I appreciate your show.
Doesn't Jeff do a great job, Mildred? I'm interrupting you, I know. But I want to brag on him because we appreciate him doing what he does. But go ahead, Mildred.
I've got a Bible question for you, but I also have a prayer request. Is that okay?
That is fine. We take prayer. This is the big Bible study group. We take prayer requests. We sure do. Go with your prayer request first.
Okay, I have a sister that's 74, and she's raising three of her great-grandchildren, and she don't get any child support or nothing like that. She lives on her check. Her car is falling apart, and she can't afford to buy a good car. She don't have air conditioner, heater, nothing, you know. And she's in desperate need. Will you have everybody that's listening to please pray that God will make a way somehow that she can have a good car?
Would you do me a favor? You don't have to, but would you mind giving us her first name? It really helps. Not her full name, but her first name. Mildred, would you mind doing that?
Yes, her name is Claudine.
Claudine. Well, we're going to pray for her right now. And those of you who are listening, let's take this need to the Lord. Father, I thank you that Mildred loves her sister. What a joy it is to have sisters that care for one another. And then when they know the Lord, there's double. And what a relationship that is. And Father, I'm praying for Claudine right now that you would meet her where she is. Their need is real. She is serving you. She's trying to help others. And yet at this point in time, that automobile, and Father, bring it about. I don't know how you want it to be. There may be someone listening that has an automobile just set aside, not being used. And they said, you know, I could do that. And Father, I pray that some way, I know what you did on the mountain for the ram and Isaac. You brought them together at the right time. Praise God. You can do this. And we just trust you and we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mildred, we're going to be praying, and I believe God's going to, when this happens, call us back, and we want to report, okay?
Oh, yes, I sure will. And now I want to ask you something about the Bible. I'm not sure where it's at, but where the children of Israel has to go to Petra and on the wings of an eagle, does that have anything to do with America?
I had a pastor, and if he's listening, he knows that we were discussing America in prophecy, and he believes that one or two of the things refer to America. I'm one of these, I guess I have to see the the writing on the wall, and I do not know. Mildred, it could be. Listen, it's hard to believe that America is going to not be involved in this situation because we're so involved in the world right now. Jeff, I do not know.
This is referring to the time when the Jewish people are fleeing the Antichrist.
I think so.
In the time of the tribulation. Yeah, I've never heard that Petra was somehow a metaphor for America. That's a new one. I've always assumed that, and there's a physical place in Jordan called Petra where there is enough room for quite a few people.
There is.
Yeah.
Mildred, You might want to call back if you can. When you call back and give us a report, ask Alex that question. And he comes up with answers. And I say, where did that come from? And he said, it was back there. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Mildred, thank you for calling. Let's go to, let's stay in Arkansas and go to Raymond. Raymond, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I hope y'all can hear me.
Yes, you're clear. Go right ahead.
Good. Good. I'm sitting here reading my daily reading a little bit later in the day than I should. And Luke 3:18 was just what I read. You know, John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. Is there a difference between, I guess I'm going to use the name Paul's good news and John's good news here, or what?
Okay. John's good news was he's coming and doing it. Paul's good news is he has come and done it.
That's good.
It is really simple. It really is. And the whole idea is all of it's concerning Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, listen, the hope that we have is the Messiah, which would be Jesus Christ. And here he has completed the task. That word, really, it's one word. It is finished on the cross.
Yeah.
Jeff, that's volumes. Yeah. And then when he rose again, it catapulted it. Yeah. I love Philippians 2, where it says, after he became obedient to death, God gave him a name that is even higher than the name he had when he left.
Oh, yeah.
You catch, he came, you know, to... Hi, he was God. In the beginning was the Word. But when he got back, God says he got a better position, a better name. Now, I don't know how that works in the Trinity, but I see the wording there. So would you say that?
On verse 18, I don't know what translation that you're looking at, Raymond. Mine reads, and I think Bert has the same, and with many other exhortations he preached to the people. And that verse is following John the Baptist talking about Jesus coming and the power of the Spirit and separating the wheat from the chaff. And I take that as exhorting the people to watch for him and to come to him.
That's right.
That many other exhortations. So he's pleading with the people in light of who the Messiah is to turn to him now.
Amen.
And not delay.
Thank you, Raymond. Keep up that daily Bible reading. And listen, some people do better. I know it says, early will I seek thee. But some people have more alertness in the afternoon than they do in the morning.
Yeah.
But always report into duty in the morning. Get in front of your mirror and say, Private Harper reporting for duty, sir.
Yeah.
And then put on the armor of God and then go out into the world. And he may have something for you later on. But most folks have high abilities at better times of the day. Have you noticed that, Jeff? Are you a morning guy?
I read in the morning, and sometimes I struggle staying awake, but I will agree with you. You hear from God before you hear from anybody else.
Yeah.
Before you check your iPhone, you check the scriptures and see what God says.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Raymond. Let's go to Texas and talk to Eric. Eric, thank you for calling.
Yes, I heard a few minutes ago one of you mentioned Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
And right away, I thought I've got to call this in because it's part of my life testimony, I guess. Back in 2000, I was scheduled to have a mass removed from my thoracic spinal cord, and it was very dangerous surgery, and it was to happen at the VA hospital in Loma Linda, California. Well, I had a friend that had been in there for 6 months, and his wife had stopped by to see me, and she said he only has 1% chance of living. And I felt, and they wanted me to do the funeral. I wasn't a pastor. I was just a good friend. And I actually called my neurosurgeon, and I asked him if he could speed it up because it wasn't for a few weeks. And they actually got me in a week later, and they did the surgery on me. And as soon as I could get in a wheelchair, I went up to the room he was in, and I told him that I had to talk to him. I felt he had lost hope, and I didn't know what this. I'd never really thought much about hope, but I said, please, you got to get him to where I can talk to him. And they had a special chair that they wheeled him out in the hall, and I began to talk to him about hope. And I said, because he was all about faith only, and I said, you know, faith, hope, and love, and all three of those are very important, Dave. And so I basically just began to talk about the 1800s and about Providence and about how people took all kinds of things happen in their lives. And they would just say, well, that's God or that's Providence. You know, and I says, you know, I says, Dave, has God ever did anything for you? And he says, yeah. And I says, well, why don't you think he'll do it again? And, you know, I come up and met with him every day. And after the first week, the charge nurse asked me to please keep coming because at that point, this was doing more for him than they were. And I'll tell you, I watched him. Yeah, I watched him basically go from death to life. And he left the hospital a week after I did.
That's
and
great.
I mean, God is so good. And that scripture totally is real.
Amen. Amen, Eric. Thanks for that testimony. Okay, we have prayer requests, got Bible questions, Bible study, and testimonies.
Testimonies. Can't get better than that.
Can't get better. Well, let's find out. And let's go. Thank you again, Eric. Praise God, brother. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Phil. Phil, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you, Alex. My question is from Romans 12:16, where it talks about never be wise in your own sight, and just how that plays out in terms of when you're following the scriptures and the wisdom of God and dealing with people that want to shoot down your wisdom. I guess it takes a lot of discernment on how to work through that.
It does, but what you want to do in all of chapter 12, read the whole chapter, start especially in verse, well, one, and you come to this verse in your own opinion. Notice what it says earlier, and Jeff, I want you to comment on it. He said, we're first not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah, that's good.
And that brings everything you look at in the rest of chapter 12 into mind, even that do not be wise in your own opinion. In other words, notice what it talks about. It's talking about real humility. It's talking about knowing the Lord. It's talking about being who you are in Christ and letting him have his way in your life. Look at verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another.
Yeah.
Again, the mind of Christ. One of the most important things you see in Paul's writings is the mind of Christ. And here, in not your opinion, but what God has. I've had to lay my opinion down a lot of times based upon scripture, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about here, I think you're exactly right, the new mind that we have when we are born again, chapter 12, a lot of things that describe the way that we live. And that the first thing he mentions is humility and not being high on your own mind.
I just want to tell you, one of the most important things is to have accountability. And I know we are married to godly women, and the accountability we have for them toward us is real. Alex and myself, accountability. And this is what helps you. Jesus would send them out 2 by 2. I know that, but part of it was accountability. And we're ultimately accountable to God. So what does that bring? I think the accountability brings on that area of humility in our lives. That we need to know what other people are seeing in us. We got blind spots. We need to see them. And it will help us concerning our opinions.
Yeah, good
and
word.
And it really will. Thank you, Phil. Let's go to Mississippi. Terry, thank you for calling.
Hi, Brother Jeff, Brother Bert. Okay, I very recently met a young man who is 13 years old. And he said that he had been saved when he was 12 and that he's been called to preach.
Hey, I was saved at 12. Yeah, I was saved at
12. Guess who I used? Guess who I used as an example?
Well, I'll tell you, it was later on that I knew God was calling me. His hand was on me even as a 12-year-old boy. I know that. I was not at 13, but, you know, you'd have youth week. I don't know if you ever had that in your church or not, Jeff.
Yeah.
And they would let youth, be the one that would lead the singing, teach Sunday school classes with a lot of help from the adults. And I got to be the youth preacher.
If
you took the uhs and the ahs and wait a minute out of it, this 15-minute sermon would have been 5 minutes. But let me give you one real person, and that's Vance Havener.
Okay.
Vance Havener, you hear Alex and myself talk about him all the time. He was the boy preacher from the mountains of North Carolina. His dad would take him to the railroad track. He'd catch a train, and he would go to a preaching place, and they'd pick him up, and he'd preach, even as a young, young boy, and he'd come back. They'd have more. We only have day services. That's what they had then, because they didn't have night time. They couldn't have the roads that lead to it. So he said, now, be home before dark. And Vance Havener, at that young age, Terry, was preaching. I'm telling you. Jeremiah, let me see.
Samuel?
Yeah. And Jeremiah in his mother's womb?
Yeah.
That's pretty early.
That's pretty early.
Thank you, Terry. Encourage that young man. Share with him. Let him just relish in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get him to memorize Scripture. Listen, when you're younger, memorize that Scripture a lot easier
Amen.
Then.
Amen.
Jeff, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, man.
4 days, man.
It's great.
Okay, Fire Away Friday's tomorrow, and I think Alex and I are both being here. If we're not, we'll go and get you.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We appreciate you so, so much. And tune in tomorrow for Fire Away Friday, and be sure and tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.